Welcome to the Shippensburg Covenant Brethren on this wintry Sunday morning. I didn't know that it was supposed to snow overnight. I don't know, maybe everybody else did, but it's great to see you all here, and I guess we're fortunate we didn't get too much anyway. So it's great to have you here. If you're a visitor, we're glad that you're here, and we encourage you to come back again. If you will please rise and join with me the call to worship. Today is the first day of our week. Open our hearts to receive God's breath of new life.
Lord, help us to be ready to hear your words of life.
Come, let us worship the Lord with great joy.
Praise be to God. Amen.
If you remain standing, we'll now be doing our praising God in song.
Slow it down a little bit with No Longer Slaves.
Oh,
I will be reading Scripture, Acts 5, 27 through 32, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Acts 5, 37 to 27 to 32. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not strictly command you not to teach in his name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, intend to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." May God bless the reading of this word, and I look forward to Pastor Galen's message.
If I say God is good, you say all the time. And if I say all the time, you say God is good. Okay? Are we ready for this? I'm going to see if you're awake. And hopefully at this point you are awake. God is good. And all the time, God is definitely good, and he's good all the time. Not just when our day is good, because sometimes we have good days and we say, "God, you are so good because this day is good." But then there are some days we have horrible days, don't we? And in the middle of those horrible days and those times that we think we can't get through, God is still good. Amen? His goodness is there for us, and he helps us even in those terrible times because he uses those times to help us grow and be more like him. So even in those terrible times, we can rejoice that God is good all the time. This morning, I saw that goodness as I looked out and saw the beautiful snow on the mountains. I've never seen Pennsylvania snow with mountains till today. Someone said to me, "Pastor, there will be snow on those mountains." And guess what? This morning, you could see the beauty of the Pennsylvania mountains. And it was so beautiful as we drove to church this morning from Ridge Road coming here to Garfield. And as we traveled to church, it was so beautiful to see the snow on the trees. And it reminded me of how good our God is. Amen. All the time. Here's what happened this week at our house. There was a huge telephone pole that fell right on Ridge Road. If you know where we are there at the Ridge Covenant Brethren Church, there was a telephone pole that went smack dab right there on Ridge Road, right in front of our house. And here's what happened. A couple guys came to our door. I had no idea. We looked out and we saw the telephone pole. We didn't even hear the crash. But we saw the telephone pole and we knew something had happened. So these two gentlemen came to our door and they were witnesses of what had happened. And they told us that a truck had hit the telephone pole and it was there, right there in front of our house, blocking the road. But without those witnesses, I would have no idea what had happened. It was because of those witnesses that I knew what had taken place. If you look up the word witness in the dictionary, you will find that a witness is someone who sees an event take place. And in Acts chapter 5, Peter and the apostles were witnesses for Jesus Christ. Because they had seen what Jesus had done on the cross. And they were witnesses of what Jesus had done for Israel. How he had offered repentance and forgiveness for the people of Israel. They were called to be witnesses for the one who died on the cross. The one who offered forgiveness to Israel and to every single person. In Acts chapter 5, we see that Peter and the apostles were witnesses for Jesus Christ. Listen to me today, brothers and sisters. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we have received Jesus into our hearts and our lives as Savior, we are called to be witnesses for Jesus. Just like the apostles in Acts chapter 5, who were witnesses to what Jesus had done on the cross, to the repentance and forgiveness he offered, we are also called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And I want us to think today about what that means. Our call to be witnesses for Jesus. First, I want us to understand today that we are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ first with our words. And that means we share our story of what Jesus has done for us. I love the song that we just sang a little bit ago. I love to tell the story. And in that song, the words, I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. You see, that's what witnesses do. We share our story of what Jesus has done for us. And you say to me, Pastor, I don't know the words to say. I don't know what to say. If someone doesn't know about Jesus, I'm not sure of the words. But listen to me today. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a story that you can share with someone. Amen? You have a story of what Jesus has done for you. You have a story of what Jesus means in your life if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. You see, we don't need fancy words because all of us have a story of what Jesus has done for us if we're a Christian, if we're a follower of Jesus. I will never forget when I was 14 years old, I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I was in a church service. And I remember feeling the Holy Spirit tug at my heart. I knew that I needed Christ. I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew that I needed His forgiveness. And I will never forget sitting in that church service feeling that I was cleansed from my sins. And the next day, I will never forget this, I went into my ninth grade algebra class, and you'd get in trouble for this today, and I told my algebra teacher that I had received Jesus as my Savior. And I shared what Jesus meant to me and what He had done in my life. You see, brothers and sisters, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have a story. You have a story of when you met Jesus. Maybe it wasn't when you were 14. Maybe you were 23. Maybe you were 36. But you have a story of meeting Jesus in your life. And you have a story of what Jesus did for you when He cleansed you of your sins. Because all of us have a story. And all of us have a story that we can tell to someone. Maybe in Walmart. Maybe wherever you go. Maybe school or work. You will have an opportunity to share that story of Jesus and what He did for you. Because as witnesses for Jesus Christ, and we are His witnesses, we are called to share that story of what Jesus means to us and what who He is in our lives. We're called to share that story with our words. And we're called to be ready to tell that story of Jesus every day of our lives. Because, brothers and sisters, there are people around us in Shippensburg that need to hear that story. There are people in our community who need to hear the story. There are people in our families who need to hear the story. And we are called to be witnesses for Jesus and do what the apostles did in Acts 5. We're called to carry that story out into the world in which we live. We are called to be witnesses for Jesus first and foremost with our words, but we're also called to be witnesses for Jesus, not only with our words, but also with our lives. Because we're called to live out Jesus Christ each and every day that we live. I just recently saw a t-shirt and it said these words. It said, "Jesus, let them see you in me." Jesus, let them see you in me. Listen to me today, brothers and sisters. We are called as witnesses to live in such a way that people will see Jesus in the way we live. They not only will hear Jesus in our words, but they will see Jesus as we go about our daily lives, as we go to Walmart, as we go to work. We are called to be witnesses with the way that we live so that people see Jesus living in us. They may never darken the door of a church, but they will see Jesus in the way that we live. Let me ask you a question this morning, and I want us all to be honest. Have you ever been driving here in Pennsylvania in a 55 zone and you are behind a horse and buggy and you cannot pass? I see a lot of hands, because there are a lot of times in Pennsylvania you'll be driving in a 55 zone. I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm sure I will. I've seen it. You're behind a horse and buggy and you cannot pass. Now, you could scream and yell. You can say awful words to the driver and the horse. But let me tell you today that your actions will point people away from Jesus Christ. We've all been in situations like that, where we do something and our actions can turn people away from Jesus. Or you could be in the same situation. It's a 55 zone. You're behind a horse and buggy and you can't pass. And instead of screaming and yelling at the driver and the horse, you could be patient. And you could count to 10. Instead of screaming at the driver and the horse, you could say a prayer, "Lord, help me to calm down." And then let me tell you something today. Your actions will point people to Jesus. You will point the person who's looking at you to Christ. Maybe it's that 3-year-old in the back seat that's watching Grandma or Grandpa. And they're watching you. That 3-year-old is watching how you live. And your actions can point people to Jesus. And here's what can happen. People will see that we live differently from the world, and they may ask us why we are different. They may ask us questions like, "Why don't you say mean words about your coworkers when everybody else in the office is talking about their coworkers and you're different because you don't say mean words? Why don't you use bad language at work like everyone else does? I don't understand why you're different." And then you have an opportunity as a follower of Jesus Christ. After they ask these questions, we can tell them about Jesus. Because our witness for Jesus Christ with our actions can lead us to being able to witness with our words. So that people see Jesus in our actions. And people then can hear about Jesus and what he means in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we are called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And I want us to see this today in our mission statement at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. And I'm going to ask if we could put that mission statement up on the big screen. And then I'm also going to ask if you could look at it today in your bulletin, because here's what we're doing at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church. We are memorizing our mission statement. We are learning it together. So that if somebody says to us, "What's your mission?" at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, we can say, "Here's where our mission statement is." Let me read that to you. It's up on the big screen. It's in your bulletin. But here's what it says. Our mission statement here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, here's what our mission is: to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ at home and abroad, and to develop the spiritual life of its members in accord with the standards and teachings of the New Testament. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to read it with me. And you've got it two places. You've got it in your bulletin, and you've got the big screen. Let's read it together. That the mission of the Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ at home and abroad, and to develop the spiritual life of its members in accord with the standards and teachings of the New Testament. The word I want us to focus on is one word. I believe you see it. What is that one word we're focusing on today? It's the word. It's good job. It's the word proclaim. To proclaim something is to announce it publicly into the world. That's what it means to proclaim something. And what we are proclaiming in our mission statement, here's what our mission is. Our primary mission in this church is to proclaim Jesus Christ with our words and with our actions. That's what our focus here is at this church and as Christians. It's to do what the apostles did in Acts chapter 5, to announce publicly, to proclaim Jesus Christ with words and actions. You see, at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, we're called to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, and we're called to proclaim Jesus with our words and with our actions. That's what God calls us to do as His followers. That's what we're called to be at this church. We're called to be witnesses. We're called to proclaim Jesus Christ with our words and with our actions. I want us to also see today what our denomination says. Because our denomination, like our mission statement, is built on Scripture and it's built on Jesus. And I love our mission statement, our vision, our mission for Covenant Brethren Church. This is what we're called to do. In our statement of beliefs, it says that Covenant Brethren Church is called to proclaim the saving grace of Jesus Christ to a sinful humanity. And I love it that it's a focus on that word that we're focusing on today, that word proclaim. We are to proclaim the saving grace of Jesus Christ to a sinful humanity. That's what the mission of the Covenant Brethren Church is. The denomination is to proclaim Jesus to a sinful humanity. To proclaim Jesus with our words and with our actions. So that people in the world around us see Jesus in our living and they hear about Jesus in our words. Listen to me today. Our number one goal at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church is to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Amen? If you have to put it in a nutshell, if you have to boil it down, if you can name that tune in just a few words, here's what it is. That the mission, the goal of Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church is to proclaim Jesus and to be witnesses for Jesus with our words and with our actions. It was the number one goal of the apostles in Acts chapter 5 as they went about sharing that message of Jesus Christ. Their number one goal was to be a witness for Jesus. Their number one goal was to share Jesus with their words and with their actions. And this is our number one goal as a church, is to be a witness for Christ at Walmart. Wherever we go, we are called to witness with the way we live, and we're called to witness with the very words that we say. Here's the question for us today. How are we doing as witnesses? When you go to work, do people see Jesus living in you? If being a Christian was a crime, would there be enough evidence to convict you? When you go to Walmart and you're frustrated because you have to stand in line, and you want to yell and scream at the person in front of you, do people see Jesus living in you? In the way that you live, in the way that you drive in front of people? Do people see Jesus in us? And here's the other part of that question. Do people see Jesus in our words? Are we willing to share the story of Jesus when we have the opportunity? If someone says to you, why do you live in such a way that's differently from the world? Are you willing to share the story of Jesus and what he means to you? How are we doing as witnesses for Jesus Christ? Brothers and sisters, let's always be people who proclaim Jesus with our words and our actions. Let's always be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And all of God's people together said, amen. I would like you to sing again with me, that my only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. Will you sing with me as we remember that call to share the story of Jesus, to be a witness for him? Let's share the hope that we have in Jesus. My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you. Our only way is you, Jesus. Our only way is you. From early in the morning till late at night, our only way is you. All that I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, and it's the song, Have Thine Own Way. I'm not sure what number it is, but your bulletin says so. And so what we're going to do is sing that song together. And I want us to sing it again this week as an invitation song. That closing song will be an invitation song. There's this beautiful song, and it's about Jesus having his way with us. I've seen potters work with clay. It's beautiful to watch. Maybe you've seen that before on TV, or maybe you've gone someplace to see it. They take a lump of clay, and sometimes they use their hands and they transform it, or sometimes they use something called a potter's wheel. And they put that clay on that potter's wheel and they transform it into something useful or beautiful. And this morning, God wants to do that in our hearts and in our lives. And as you've listened to the message this morning, he wants to transform you. God wants to change you through his word. And so today, as you've heard this message about being a witness for Jesus Christ, as you've heard about the call on our lives to be a witness with our lives and with our words, I want to encourage us to allow Jesus to mold us and shape us today. Let him mold and shape our hearts to be even better witnesses for him. And so today we can ask the Holy Spirit and he will help us to grow, to be transformed. Having been here today, having heard the words that were given in the Word of God, he can shape us. God can mold us to be the people he wants us to be. Perhaps today you don't know Jesus, and you can be like that clay the clay that allows the potter to come and shape your heart. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to encourage you today to receive Him, to turn from your past, to say, God, I'm sorry for the person I've been. And the Bible says that when you do that and receive Jesus, that He cleanses you from all unrighteousness. He gives you a clean slate. And so today, if you've never done that, if you've never asked Christ to forgive you of your sins, and you've never said, Lord, I want to commit my life to Him, you can do that today. It's not about being perfect, because none of us ever will be. But it's about being forgiven and starting with a clean slate. And you can do that today. I'm going to invite you to come this morning if you don't know Christ as your Savior. And as you come, I'm going to invite the deacons, if they would, to come and to gather around and to pray over you and to pray for you as you make the greatest decision that you'll ever make. We're going to sing together a beautiful song, Have Thine Own Way. And I'm going to invite you now, if you would, to stand and sing. And won't you come as the Lord has laid receiving Him on your heart? Won't you come? Let's please stand together, and I'll invite you to come. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank You for all the many blessings that You give in our lives. And Father, I ask today that You would help us to be Your witnesses. Help us to go from this place and wherever we go. Help us to live in such a way that people see Jesus in our actions. And Father, help us to be witnesses with our words. Help us to be willing to share the story of Jesus with everyone we meet. Father, as we leave this place today, I pray that Your hand of safety would be on each one. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all together, all of God's people said, Amen.